And since we're back to kind of just a different message than in our series, let me just say to you, it is the will of God to take the Word of God through the Spirit of God to change the people of God to be more like the Son of God. That's why we're here. So let's pray together. God, thank you for your great work in our lives and your mercy. Our sins, they are many, but your mercy is more. And because of that, we can look into your word for hope and for encouragement and for a challenge and also for the basis of our living. So as we do that this morning, I pray that you would help us to be faithful to that, be open to what you want to teach us, open to what you want us to change in our lives in such a way that brings honor and glory to you. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Why am I here? Now, that sounds funny just kind of saying it from the, you know, from the stage here, like, why am I here? I was concerned at the end of soccer camp. I wouldn't be able to put two sentences together because I was a little bit fatigued. Remember we talked about fatigue last week? Yeah, that kind of comes in. But why am I here? This is a very significant question for every single person in this room. And I believe there are different levels to this question, different levels to how we may approach it. On one level, the question, why am I here, relates to a situation or a circumstance where we kind of find ourselves in some kind of a place and we ask ourselves, why am I here? I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I have just a few times in my life where you hear about a movie. Someone tells you about a movie and tells you it's really great. And so you spend your $14 or whatever, and you go to the movie, and the first 10 minutes you're like, this is horrible. And you ask yourself, why am I here? I mean, you thought the popcorn would do it for you, or the Milk Duds, or the 87-ounce drink that they provided for you that's going to make you miss the movie because you have to go to the bathroom 5 times. But you sit in that movie, and I don't know about you, but I sit there and go, why am I here? That's one level. I remember when I was a teacher in Pennsylvania at a rather large Christian school. It went from pre-K all the way to high school to a senior. And so I remember being a teacher. I was in the middle school and high school area. But we had an elementary school band. And every once in a while, they would have a concert. And they would encourage the teachers to attend. I didn't have any children at that time, but I thought, you know what, I'll go to support the elementary school band. After the first song, I'm saying to myself, why am I here? And if your kid's playing the band, please, I am not disparaging them. I'm just saying, I didn't know a clarinet could make that kind of a sound. And I'm sitting and I'm thinking, this is one song of 12. Why am I here? You ever had that? I've had that feeling. I believe that on Monday, I saw in some of the people's faces, I believe on Monday, when all the kids showed up and the volunteers came, especially the ones that were volunteering for the first time, the coaches, not the head coaches, the other coaches, I believe when all the kids came, some of them were looking at it, you're going, why am I here? When Coach Al or Coach Jeff or whoever started to have the kids run around and then they went into the drill, some of the people were going, why am I here? I understand. And even, I believe, on Sunday morning, all around the United States, there are a bunch of people, maybe some of you right now are saying, why am I here? Why am I in church? Some people just show up at church and go, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? So that's one level of how we do this. I found this comic. I think, do I have a comic up here? I'll read it for you if you can see it. This is a kid behind a school desk. This is going to happen in just a couple weeks. He says, what on earth am I doing in here on this beautiful day? This is the only life I've got. And so then he throws his desk off and he runs away, and then the teacher picks him up, which is not allowed today, but I like that, okay, and says, next time, try a drink of water and a few deep breaths. Because that kid's wondering, what am I doing here? And in a couple weeks, there's going to be hundreds of kids going, what is going on? So that's one level. But there's a second level, a much deeper level to the question, why am I here? I call it the big picture, life-changing, path-altering level of the question, why am I here? This is what it sounds like. What is the purpose of my life? What is the meaning of my life? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Does my life have meaning and significance? And I want you to know that every single person in this room, including myself, in one way or another, you ask yourself this question on a regular basis. You don't always use those exact words, but you get up each morning, and some of you are like, I don't even want to get up. And when you do get up, you're like, why am I getting up? Why am I here? What is the purpose and meaning of my life? And answering this question is so very important. Listen as I try to describe the groups of people that are asking this question, and you're going to be in one of these groups. Why am I here as a child? Maybe you have a young person in your home, and they're maybe 7 or 8 or 9 years old. They may be wondering that. Why am I here as a teenager? Why am I here as a college student? On this planet right now as a college student, why am I here? Why am I here as an unemployed person? Why am I here as someone who is dealing with an illness or a disability? Why am I here as a single adult? Why am I here as a single mom or dad? Why am I here as a married couple wanting kids? Why am I here as a married couple with kids? Why am I here as an empty nest parent? Why am I here as a grandparent? Why am I here as a retired person? Why am I here as just an old person? Seriously. So whatever season of life is, people are asking and should be asking, why am I here? What is the purpose for me being here? Now, I did a little research, not a whole lot because I was getting confused and actually a little bit bored. I came up with some of the deeper answers that people have come up with is why we are here. Here's an example. The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. That's from Picasso. Wonderful. I have no idea what he's talking about. Maybe for him it was art. So for him, the meaning of life is, hey, just find your gift. Like, I don't know what it is. Well, when you find it, the meaning of life, why you're here, it's to give it away. Okay. All right, here's another one. It does not matter how long you are spending on the earth, how much money you have gathered, or how much attention you have received. It is the amount of positive vibration you have radiated in life that matters. Feeling it? I can't read the guy's name. That's just an interesting perspective on why I'm here. If that's like your life verse, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pull that out. One more that I thought was interesting. Life has no meaning. That's a great way to start. Why am I here? Life has no meaning. Each of us has meaning and we bring it to life. It's a waste to be asking the question when you are the answer. So why are you here? You're here because you're here. You're here, you're the reason, you're the answer. You're the answer to yourself of why you're here. Wow. So there are more. If you're like, oh, that just kind of whet my appetite, you can look and find more. That would be fine. But I'm not sure if that's really doing it justice. And then I thought about, why do young people and adults believe that they're here? Both followers of Christ and not. Why do people think they're here? If you ask like the person on the street, why do you think you're here? I think if you ask kids or teenagers, they may say, why am I here? I'm here to be happy and have fun. I heard that as a parent. Why do you think you're here? Well, I'm just here to have a good time. Okay. And we're providing for it, aren't we? Some think they're here to get a job, to have a girlfriend or boyfriend. Some are here to get good grades in school, to get into college, to graduate. Some are here to play sports. Some are just here to have lots of friends. How about adults? We try to think we're more sophisticated why we're here. I don't know. Some adults think they're here to take care of the environment and leave it better for the kids and the grandkids. That's why we're here. We're here to be a good person, to have a successful career, to have a healthy and loving family, to be respected by people, that's why we're here, to provide for your family, to retire with enough money, to make the world a better place. That's why we're here. Some believe they're here just to survive another day. So I would say that some of these responses, are viable responses to the question why I'm here. I'm not saying these are bad answers. They're viable answers. But this thought came to my mind. Is the question, why am I here, intended to be a multiple choice answer question? I don't think it is. I don't think it's meant to be asked and then here you have 50 different responses you can go to. I don't think it's supposed to be a multiple choice answer question. I believe there's something more foundational that helps to build kind of the basis for how we should answer that question, and it will affect all these other areas in our life. The Bible talks about what is the foundation to answer the question, why am I here? And then it will find its way. I call it the trickle-down effect. It will find its way to all these different areas. So I want you to leave this morning with a clear understanding of why you are here. You don't have to agree with me. I just want you to understand it. Then you can do with it what you'd like. But I would like you to take your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 22. Your pew Bible is 692 if you want to use that. This is where you flip it over to the side where you have the blank sheet of paper and you can start writing whatever insert notes you think are appropriate for you at this time. But Matthew chapter 22, if you want to write that reference down, that would be great. Matthew chapter 22, 692. We're going to start with verse number 34 of Matthew 22. Very interesting passage. I want you to go there. And I like to encourage people, if you write in your Bible, you might want to write next to this passage the question, why am I here? That way, if you go back to it, maybe you can remember some of the things we talked about, or at least God will bring those things to mind. So look at verse 34. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. So let's stop there for a moment. So I know that some of you, a Sadducee is like, what is that? Is that some kind of an illness? What is that? That's a group of people back in Jesus' day who were religious leaders. And at this point in Matthew 22, the religious leaders had gathered together and they started asking Jesus some questions and they're trying to trap him. They're trying to get him to say something that would get him in trouble with the rest of the people, so they could bring an accusation against Jesus, like blasphemy. So they're trying to trick him with questions. And it says, the Sadducees, oh, go back, I'm sorry, Carolyn. The Sadducees tried, but it didn't work. So now the Pharisees step in, and they're going to take their opportunity. So we go to the next verse. Go ahead. Thank you. It says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? So let me explain this. This expert of the law, that one of their, you know, one of their top guns, you know, one of their really sharp guys, walks up to Jesus and is going to ask him this question, what is the greatest commandment in the law? He's basically saying this to Jesus, or asking Jesus this. Jesus, of all the commands in the Bible, the ones that are written, and the ones that we added to, because they added to the commands. Of all the commands in the Bible, which one or which one should be ruling my life? In essence, this guy asked Jesus, what am I supposed to be doing while I'm here? Why am I here? You following me? He's asking Jesus, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to do with my life? What are you supposed to do with your life? So it goes on to say this. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. I call today's message a reminder message, where some of the material is not going to be brand new to you, but I'm just saying to you, as I was working through it, I needed the reminder. Why am I here? Here's the first reason why I'm here. Same thing with you. We're here to love God. Love God. Two words. We're here to love God. Jesus, what should I be doing with my life? What am I supposed to be doing? And Jesus answered him, love God with all you have, with all you are. And I love that response. You know why? Because it fits every single season of life in this room. Because some people get discouraged. They're like, you know what? I don't have a lot going on in my life. I'm kind of struggling right now. I'm kind of in a challenging part of my life. I don't know what I'm going to do after I get out of college other than try to pay off my loans. Or I'm in kind of in a dead-end job. Or I'm retired and I don't really like retirement. And you're all in these seasons of life, correct? And like, why are you here? And you're here to love God. You're here to love God. It fits any season of life that you're in. It should be challenging, but also encouraging. I have in-laws, Pam's parents. I've known them for decades because Pam and I met a long time ago. We met when I had hair. So it's been a few decades. And right now, my in-laws, Pam's parents, are struggling a little bit. They're getting older. They're struggling. And so what do you say to someone whose really kind of life has kind of just boiled down to just real slow motion right now? What do you say to somebody like that if they ask you, why am I still here? I would say to them in all honesty and encouragement, as much as you can, you're here to love God still. Is that just a trite statement? I don't think so. You're here to still love God. You may not be able to do some of the other things you wanted to do, but you can still love God. That's why we're here. If you're a college student and you're trying to figure out life, what am I doing? You go back to campus, like, what am I doing here? Well, I don't know all the answers to that question as far as on campus, but I can tell you this, you're on campus to love God. Whatever campus it is, whatever job you're in, whatever retirement you're in, wherever you are, you're here to love God. Now, what does that look like? What does it look like to love God? Let me give you some suggestions of what it looks like to love God. First of all, we need to believe. I start with the word believe because it is, according to the Bible, because I don't know everybody in the room here, it is, according to the Bible, it's impossible to really love God until you believe first. And what I mean by that is God sent Jesus Christ to restore our relationship with him, because we're all sinners. All of us, ready? All of us have made mistakes, myself included. And so we're separated from a holy God, and God in his grace and mercy said, I'm going to send Jesus Christ to live a sinless life, to die on the cross for your sins. He rose again to conquer sin and death and gave us victory over that. And because of that, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with God. And there's no way to really love God until you believe first. Because I know there are people, it was really neat. Pam had a really good conversation this week with some people that were just, they're just searching. They were so thirsty. Like, I don't really know what I believe about God right now, but I'm still looking. And that's wonderful. And I'm just saying the first step to really loving God is you have to believe in Jesus Christ to restore that relationship. That's where it starts. It won't really happen unless you do that. Because here's what happens if we bypass that. Some people try to love God by doing everything they think he wants them to do to gain his favor. That's not what the Bible talks about. That's not how God wants us to try to love him, by trying to gain his favor. That's what Jesus did. Jesus gained God's favor for us. So we believe. The Bible says, whoever believes in Jesus Christ, God has given them the right to become a child of God. John 1:12. So we believe. But here's a second thing we can do to love God. To obey. I love how obedience is not tied to a season of life. Is obedience just for little kids? Adults, no. But the idea is that obeying God transcends from 12 to 90 or whatever age span we're in here. And we're called to love God. Jesus himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So how do I love God? I obey him. And so what does it look like? It looks like that when I wake up, here should be my attitude. If I'm here, why am I here? If I'm here to love God, then I'm here to please God and not please myself. Because there are a lot of people on this earth, I'm just telling you, a lot of people on this earth, if you ask them the question, why am I here? I'm here to get the most out of life that I can for myself. I'm here to get all the, sorry about the beer reference, all the gusto I can get. Right? And a lot of people, that's what drives them. I'm going to get everything I can out of life for me. Well, obedience is, it's not about me, it's about God, about doing the things that please him. That's why I'm here. So I don't know where you are, but in your life with this question, but why are you here? You're here to love God. What does it look like? It looks like to obey him, to please him and not please ourselves. And also, we shouldn't be spending a whole lot of time trying to please others by doing things that don't please God. That's not loving him. And we do that. Why am I here? Well, I got to make everybody happy. That's a dangerous way to live, because some people make some really bad choices to make other people happy. And in the course of doing that, they don't love God. I'm here to believe and obey. Here's another word. Hopefully you're writing them down. I got lots of space. Serve. I show God that I love him by serving him. Why am I here? I'm here to serve. You're like, of course you are. You're a pastor. No, if you're a follower of Christ, why are you here? To love God and serve him. Really? That's why I'm here. That's part of the reason why you're here, to love God. That's why we would say to you as pastors in a loving yet firm way that if you're not serving, you're missing out on how God wants you to love him. You're missing out on part of your purpose for being here. Why are you here? Love God by serving him. A lot of you in this room have done this in a number of different ways. That's why we're having the volunteer appreciation lunch. But even last week, I just have to tell you, there were times when I paused and I was overwhelmed emotionally. To see, you know, it's not everybody at once, but there was almost 90 people that helped out with soccer camp. And there were several people not from our church who made comments to other people from our church about how do you get so many people to help? It's a God thing. Because I know you're asking yourself that question, what am I doing here? Monday night, it was hot. And God had rained on us to provide the sauna effect. And it was hot, and the kids were ready to go. And you're like, what am I doing here? You know what you're doing here? You're loving God by serving him, and you're fulfilling that purpose. You're doing exactly what God wants you to do. There's an old chorus that goes, I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. So we believe, we obey, we serve, and then we glorify God. We love him by glorifying him. When I say glorify, it could be something like worshiping God, whether it's in a worship service or other ways. We do these things. The Bible says this, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Folks, listen, I don't do this well or as good as I should. Maybe you don't as well, but I just know this. I exist on this planet. Why am I here? To love God and bring him glory. That's why I'm here. That's my purpose. It's supposed to be my purpose. I'm not going to tell you I always follow that. So it's not about me. It's about him. Contrary to that deep statement that was made just one of those quotes a few minutes ago, I don't bring meaning to life. God's glory brings meaning to life. I love what John Piper, he's a pastor, he wrote this about glorifying God. He says, your behavior, your parenting, the way you do your job, the way you worship, and the way you handle your things in life, everyone should read off of your life this statement, God is great. That's why you exist. I'm here to love God and bring him glory. That's why I'm here. It's interesting, I don't know if you know this, there's an entire book in the Bible that was written to answer the question about the meaning of life. Like, why am I here? An entire book of the Bible. This guy named Solomon wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. It's one of those ones that's really hard to spell. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, he really wrestles with what is the meaning of life. And here's the really kind of interesting thing. Solomon had it all. And so if you were to look at his life, he had it all. He was loaded. He had money. Because some people think, I'm here to make a lot of money. Solomon made a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. He also had a lot of relationships. Not even going to go into that. He had a lot of friends, family. Phone a friend. He had a lot of options. So some people think, I'm here to make connections with people. Great. He had lots of relationships. Sometimes people say, I'm here to kind of build up a portfolio and leave a legacy. That's fine. He had housing. He had vineyards. He had gardens. It says that he had a choir on demand. None of this Pandora stuff. I mean, if he wanted some of his favorite song sung at 3 o'clock in the morning, he's like, bring the choir in. And they go, hallelujah. And they sing for him. Probably not that song, but all right, but you know what I'm saying? So he had it all. He had a resume, he had a portfolio, and people would look at his life and go, wow, that's why we're here for all this stuff. But then at the end of it all, here's what he says. Now all has been heard. I told you all about all my stuff. This is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the Old Testament way of saying this. I am here to love God. That's the bottom line. And will my love for God affect how I view money? Yes. Relationships? Yes. Stuff? Yes. Are all those things wrong? Absolutely not. But I'm here, you're here, to love God. I try to make it simple in my life. I don't know, maybe you like to be a complicated person. I don't need a really big 3x5 or 4x6 card on my dashboard with some 8-line quote about the meaning of life. I'm good with love God. I struggle with doing that. I'll start with that one and then work my way. But it's interesting. Let's go back to Matthew 22. Maybe you never left there. Jesus, in answering this man's question, tells him, you're here to love God. But then look at one more verse, verse 39. Here's the second commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Why am I here? Why are you here? I know, you're like, I was looking for something a little bit deeper. Sorry. It's not deep, but it's not easy. Love God, love people. I'm here to make sure my kids have more than I had. Yeah. If it happens, it happens. But what greater purpose there be if we are here to love God and love people? I wrote down some examples just for myself. If you want to write these down, you can. I needed some tangible examples of what it looked like to love people. So here they are. I'm here to love the people close to me. Sometimes I forget that, and I need to be reminded of that. Why am I here? I am here to love the people closest to me. That's part of what God commands me to do. Should I be loving my wife? That's not a rhetorical, well, it kind of is a rhetorical question. Yes! I should be loving my wife. I also should be loving other Christians. Why am I here? I'm here to love the people close to me. I'm here to love other Christians. And I want you to notice something as we're going through this. Notice that the focus of why I'm here is on God and other people, and it's not so much on me. Second rabbit trail, just for a moment. We put together videos. When I say we, it wasn't me, it was the video team. They did videos each day. They were awesome. And then we gave a DVD to the parents. And I think at one point during the soccer camp, I asked kids or parents, did you see yourselves or did you see your kids in there? And they raised their hand. And I go, yeah, that's what we do. Whenever we look at a picture, we look for ourselves. Don't we? I mean, oh, my hair. Oh, well, not my hair, but, you know. And it's when you're in a picture, if someone takes a picture of a group and they show you their camera or their phone, usually it's not really a camera, usually their phone, who do you look for? You look for yourself. And I love the fact I'm not here to look for myself in the picture. I'm here to love God and to love people. So love the people that are close to you. Love other Christians. Love difficult people. That's what I mean. Oh, man, it's hard. That's why I'm here. And God's like, oh, yep, that's part of why you're here. That's why I gave them to you. Some of you tomorrow morning, seriously, tomorrow morning, you're going to go to a job and be in a cubicle or in a factory room next to someone who's very, very difficult, and you're going to ask yourself the question, why am I here? And you might be tempted to answer it this way, I need a paycheck, or I only have a couple more years for retirement. That might be the way that you're tempted to answer it, and that's true to some degree, but the real answer is, I'm here to love God and love people. Like, I don't like that. I know, because it changes our perspective, right? Because if we walk in and say, I'm here at my job to love God and love people, it's a lot harder to complain. If you're just there for the paycheck, you can start whining and complaining. If you're just there to buy your time, you're going to complain about those difficult people. But if you're there to love God and love people, you got a different perspective. I'm not saying they're going to be less difficult. You're just going to have a different perspective on how to deal with them. You following me? That's why I'm here. Love difficult people. I'm here to love people with my words and my actions. And this took place last week. We did this. I'm here to love people who need Jesus. So if you are thinking in your life, I'm here to be the best mom possible and to raise my kids to be honest and even to know God, that's a wonderful goal. Keep that goal. Go for that goal. That's great. But ultimately, as a mom, you're here to love God and love people. That's why you're here. Because let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes the reasons why we think we are here don't work out that well for us. Maybe we're trying to steer our children towards Jesus, and they take a little path to the side, and if that's the only reason why you think you're here, you're really discouraged. Or maybe you think you're here to build a big portfolio and stuff crashes. I don't want it to crash for you. I hope it's good. But if it does, that's not the real reason why you're here. You're here to love God and love people. Let me just close with this, just a few thoughts. Why am I here? In the fairy tale, Alice in Wonderland, I don't always bring that into my messages, but in the fairy tale, Alice in Wonderland, there's a conversation between her and the Cheshire Cat. Alice asked the cat, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to," said the cat. Alice responds, "I don't much care where." "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," said the cat. But I'm here to tell you that answering the question, why am I here, is really important. It not only will impact what you pursue in this life, it will also impact where you end up in the next life. Why am I here? I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm Papa now, and we're desperately trying to drill that into her to be her first word, my granddaughter. Papa, 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 Papa. And I think everything sounds like it. I think she just wants more food and going, that's Papa, I'm sure it is. So I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm Papa, I'm a coach, I'm a teacher, I'm a pastor, I'm a friend, I'm a son-in-law, I'm lots of different things. And all of these things matter. That's part of the reason why I'm here. But those aren't the ultimate reasons why I'm here. I am here to love God and love people. And so are you. As God allows, tomorrow morning, you will get up and you will be given another day to answer the question, why am I here? I don't know what your day is going to be like. Some of you are going to have a busy day. Some of you are going to have, I call a hamster wheel day. Just one of those days. Some of you are going to have a boring day, an exciting day, or a challenging day. I don't know what kind of day you're going to have. But whatever day it is, if we look for ways to love God and love people, we will have answered the question of the day properly and with purpose. Why am I here? Why don't you stand with me? Joe, why don't you come and close us in prayer? I'd appreciate that. Thank you.